That was really well done. Okay, well, whenever I start a talk on the temperaments, I always have to make a confession. So my confession is this, that before I knew about temperament, I used to think that art was basically just like me, only bad. But as it turns out, what I thought he was doing intentionally, his intentional behavior to annoy and harass me, as it turns out, these were just features of his God-given temperament. It was actually the way he was hardwired. So things like, I had been home all day when the kids were small, and he'd come home and I'd want to talk, and he had been talking all day at work or whatever, and he didn't want to talk. Now, that didn't mean he was antisocial or he was angry at me, but these were the things that I used to think. But once I discovered temperament, I realized it's part of his God-given temperament that he needs more quiet than I did. He needed less talking, not more. So it's probably a result of original sin that we tend to think that everybody should be just like we are. And we're surprised when our spouse or kids react differently. And sometimes we blame them, or depending on our temperament, sometimes we blame ourselves, like, oh, I must be a bad parent. But this is not the case. And understanding temperament helps us become a little bit more understanding of ourselves and forgiving of others. And of course, there's a long and venerable tradition in Catholic spirituality. There are many saints, many spiritual writers have written about temperament, and even one pope, and that was Pope John Paul I. So every editor that I ever had would always correct that and change it to Pope John Paul II. Like, no, I meant John Paul I. He wrote about temperament in a book called Illustrissimi. Anyway, so I'm going to start with the choleric. And we're going to do, like, there's four temperaments, and we're just kind of using the classic terminology, which has been used over many centuries. And this doesn't mean that everybody, as Art said, it's not putting people in a box. It is just a handy tool and kind of a handy reference for the way to refer to groups of tendencies. And so I'm going to start with the choleric, or choleric, as some people say. And that is your original type A personality. And they have quick, intense reactions, which makes them decisive, tenacious, and driven to follow through. They are determined, energetic, forceful, and confident. Everybody's probably had at least one boss or friend, or they might be themselves, somebody who is choleric. And the clerics love to boss people around. It's like my way or the highway. We're always right. We always like to have the last word. Okay, they love to be in charge, and they don't have to have any experience in the areas in which they love to take charge. So, one of the examples we like to give is Mother Angelica. Mother Angelica is described in the book written by Raymond Arroyo as a choleric. He uses that term hundreds of times throughout the book. Anyway, so when she was first starting out her new order in Alabama, she just moved there. She needed a way to raise money. So she's like, what am I going to do to raise money? Okay, she got all her little nuns together, and she made an assembly line, and she's got them making fishing lures. Okay, she's going to sell fishing lures. So she had, you know, one little nun is got the hook, and the other one's got the bait and feather and the whatnot, and the other one has, you know, packages it all up. She sends them out. Lo and behold, this becomes hugely successful. So she even was in Sports Illustrated the year she sold more, and she called them St. Peter's fishing lures. She sold more fishing lures than anybody else in the country. And all this despite the fact she had never fished a day in her life. So clerics are fiercely independent, self-motivated, and strong-willed. They're sometimes accused of rolling over people once they've set a plan in motion, of being stubborn and demanding, opinionated, competitive, and argumentative. Now, those of you who are clerics out there in the audience, you're going to say, well, thank you. Thank you for those compliments. So our daughter, our youngest daughter, who will be coming here, and she has allowed us and even demands us to use her name. She likes to be spoken about in these talks. She is a choleric like me. Okay, thank goodness we didn't have, our first child was not a choleric, otherwise we could have, you know, stopped at one. it would have been challenging. But anyway, so our last child turns out to be a choleric. And so we've had a lot of arguments and debates over the years. And so there was this one incident where she was about 12 years old, and she's looking in the mirror, and she says to me, she goes, Mom, there's something wrong with the shape of my head. I go, Lucy, there's nothing wrong with the shape of your head. You're just fine. She goes, no, look at the way it's round behind my ears. And I go, Lucy, your head is supposed to be round behind your ears. So already we're off on an argument, okay? We love to debate, that's the thing. Cholerics just love to have these debates. But anyway, so I'm like, Lucy, your head is supposed to be round behind your ears. And she goes, no, my head is not supposed to be round behind the ears. Why? It's definitely wrong. There's something seriously wrong with my head. I said, no, Lucy. I said, if your head was not round behind the ears, if it went straight back like that, you'd be a Martian. Lucy goes, Mom, Martians' heads don't look like that. What are you talking about? Martians' heads, they go straight up like this and all the way around like a giant light bulb on the top of their head. That's what Martians look like. And then our son, who was standing there, Sanguine's son, he goes, I can't believe you two are arguing about this because neither of you has ever seen a Martian. Now, St. Paul himself was probably a choleric. In Athens, Paul grows exasperated by all the idols. Quote, so he debated in the synagogue with the Jews and the worshipers, and daily in the public square with whoever happened to be there. Paul even disagreed openly with Peter, the first pope. Quote, I opposed him to his face because he clearly was wrong. Galatians 2. In Acts, it says about Paul that, quote, he even addressed the Greek-speaking Jews and debated with them. They, for their part, responded by trying to kill him. Cholerics sometimes provoke that kind of response. So we like to say, try not to take it too personally if you're married to a cleric or you have a cleric child. Young and old, they love to argue and debate. And bear in mind that they typically don't like any idea unless it was their own. And try not to get upset when they're questioning because it's their nature to do so. Now, what we like to say is, okay, this is their tendency, so we're trying to understand them, but what we're asking them to do is to grow in virtue. So we like to say about young cholerics that we have to teach them to be respectful when they want to ask or debate or discuss an issue. And we like, you know, for parents, we like to keep them busy. We like to put them in charge of things. leadership, using their leadership, their natural tendencies, give them age-appropriate choices. Because they tend to be impatient, we like to try to teach them to learn empathy, which we're going to be talking about in the second talk. So there's a lot of tips in our book, the parenting book, on different virtues. There are going to be some virtues are going to be more difficult based on your temperament, and some are going to be easier. And so you want to kind of build on the things that are easier, but also try to work on those virtues that are going to be more difficult for your kids. And it's the same with ourselves. We need to always be working on those virtues that we struggle with. We may find some virtues are going to be more easy for the cleric. For example, magnanimity, that might be an easier virtue, or leadership. But it's going to be more difficult to be humble. It's going to be more difficult to be patient, and we need to work on those things. So the next temperament is the phlegmatic, which is the exact opposite of the choleric, and art is the exact opposite. They say that opposites attract. So I, of course, married a phlegmatic.